And we thank God for everyone who is here today. And at this time, we're asking you to please get your Bibles and let us turn together to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5. All right. It looks like we're all together. At this time, I'm reading verse 38 and 39. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Thank God for the reading of his word. And the Lord has given me to preach from this subject. Do you? That's the question. Do you? All right. As we go, we know this is part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching them some things that they needed to know under the dispensation of grace. A lot of them had grown up under the law, and all the law demanded, and Jesus is now coming to let them know that a new and better covenant was here. And a new way of doing things are here. So as we look at verse 38, Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now that was under the law, and that was legal. They could do that. But what this verse was doing, it was limiting. It was setting the parameters for which person could get retribution. Now, it says, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. If someone had caused someone to lose an eye, they could only, when they settled the score, take an eye. You couldn't take both eyes. The person lost the eye, and the law said an eye can be taken. They lost the tooth. Then they said knock out all the front teeth. Can only take one tooth. And it goes on in the Old Testament. It says a hand for a hand. And whatever it is, so we're just showing that there was equality in how the law was dealt with those situations. Well, as we look at the 39th verse, where it says, unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee, slap thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, if we were still applying the law, the Old Testament law, where it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, well, then a slap for a slap. So somebody slapped you, slap them back. Couldn't carry it any further than that because that's what the law said. But look what the first part of this verse says. But I say unto you, Jesus is giving them now the way they have to live. In other words, this is the rule for discipleship. This is the rule that he's going to teach them. If they're going to be followers of his, they have to all go by what he is telling them now. He says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. You resist not evil. Let's stop right there. where it says to resist not evil. Well, we know that to be a Christian, it requires us to live a different life than the world. When God saves us and makes us new creatures, and we need to keep that in mind, you look the same in the mirror, but on the inside there's been a change. And because the change is on the inside, it's reflected on the outside. And what I mean by that is it affects how you're going to live now, that you now profess that I'm a child of God, that I'm a Christian, that I am on my way to heaven. So Jesus is telling them that you don't have to resist it. You don't have to resist it. Resist not evil. Amen. As a matter of fact, who in here can stop evil? None of us. None of us. So Jesus said, you don't have to resist evil, because you can be the nicest person in the world and somebody is going to do you evil. So you can't follow up on that, because we'd be miserable creatures if we were trying to resist evil and all the evil that's all around us, because that would occupy all our awakening time. Amen. Trying to resist evil. Evil is going to come. We live in an evil land. We live in a land where the devil has authority over people who do not know Christ. But over in 1 Peter, the third chapter, 1 Peter, I want to read a passage over in 1 Peter chapter 3 to let us see what Jesus and how Jesus wants us to live. And it is different. It's different from the world. We got to understand that you can't live like the world and be a child of God. All right, look at the 1 Peter chapter 3. And y'all allow me to take my time, because Jesus taught. Jesus taught, so I'm going to try to imitate him today in taking my time to help you get an understanding, because in order to please God, we got to understand it. If you don't understand what the Word of God says, you can't please God. Amen. You know, on your job, if you don't understand what they want you to do, you know that you're not pleasing them. You have to get an understanding that they want you to do such and such, such and such, such and such. And when you get an understanding, then you can go about and do it. Well, the same way with the Word of God. We need to know what God is requiring of us so we can do it. All right, the ninth verse, 1 Peter 3 and 9 says that for us, Christian, not the ones who believe, says, not rendering evil for evil. No more an eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. Or railing for railing. See, that's what that old law said. You know, they do this and I can do the similar thing. But contrariwise, blessing. Blessings, when folks have done me wrong. The Bible says, but blessing. Know ye that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Right. There, it comes back to reaping and sowing. And the Bible lets us know that don't be deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you can't do evil and expect good to come back. What you planted is what's going to come back. So evil, you planted evil seed, evil's going to come back to you. And those talking about, I don't know why I'm having all this trouble. You know, when these things say, you know where we need to start? Examining ourselves. We need to find out what, if I did something contrary to the Word of God, then once you examine yourself and find out that you did what God says, then you have a clear picture. If you did good and evil came back to you, you know it's the work of the devil. You know it's the devil's work. And this is how we know how the devil works, because the devil always comes against God's word. And that's why it is so important for Christians, believers, folks who are followers of Christ, folks who say they're on their way to heaven. It's important for you to know the word of God. Because the devil will come against you. And when you know God's word, you can identify the devil. Again, I go back to the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil came along. No, he said, if you eat of it, you're going to surely die. And what did the devil come along? Now remember how he works. He came along, he entertained Eve, she had a conversation, and he told her that she wouldn't surely die. God said she would surely die. Eve transgressed God. She disobeyed God, and she surely died spiritually. Adam died spiritually. But the devil said you wouldn't die. So this is one thing we need to keep in mind. The devil is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of lies. And that's why God has left his word truth. And when you have truth, you won't believe a lie. When we have truth, we can compare truth against a lie. And this is one thing we know. Whether God, when God says it, whether I fully understand it or not, I'm going to endeavor with all my might to do what God says. Because this is one thing I know. God's word is right. The scripture says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word is forever. The Bible was written by God. He moved on holy men, and they wrote what God put in their spirits to write and told them to write. Amen. So God is a God who only speaks truth. The Bible is a book of truth. Amen. Whether you understand it or not, it's a book of truth. And if you don't understand, this is what God wants us to do. God wants each one of us, when we don't understand, so let's pray for understanding. Say, Lord, help me. Open my eyes. Help me to see your will for my life. It's in the Bible. God has left his word. So he just said in here that if you want a blessing, you got to do what God says. You have to be a blessing to receive a blessing. Because we were called Christians, followers of Jesus, born again believers, we were called to inherit a blessing. Amen. I know we're looking forward to seeing that blessing that Jesus went away to prepare for us. He's given us eternal life, and one day he's coming back for us, and we're going to live in a place where there will be no more trouble, no more devil to contend with, no more devil's children to contend with, and no more sickness, no more dying. It'll be everlasting joy. Oh, won't that be a change from this world we live in? Because trouble looks like it won't leave us alone. But I thank God we have one on the inside, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, who is greater than the trouble. Amen. He's stronger than the troublemaker. Amen. He's more powerful than the troublemaker. And when he tells the devil to leave us alone, the devil has to leave us alone. Thank God for Jesus. All right, so we find out if you want good to come back, you got to do good. And how you treat people, how you talk to people, how you mistreat people, if you lying on folks, well, if you're lying, you're not saved. So if you're lying, I can understand why you're doing what you're doing, because saved people don't lie. Amen. Amen. And saved people have to tell the truth. Because why saved people don't lie? Because the Bible says that a liar will not tarry in his sight. The Bible says a liar will have his part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, and that surely is not heaven. Heaven does not burn with fire and brimstone. It's that other place. Amen. So if you're lying, you can't go to heaven. And you know, the devil is so deceptive because so many people tell lies. Amen. They can tell a lie with a straight face, as the word said. Look you right in the eye and tell you a lie and never even be troubled by it. But I want you to know, if you are living that kind of way, if you are living that way, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to be cleansed. You need the devil taken out of you, because if you're lying like that, that means the spirit of the devil is in you. Remember now, the Bible says he's the father of lies. Let's go back to Matthew. Fifth chapter, the 39th verse again, it says, Jesus says unto you, that's you and me, he's saying unto us today, as he was talking to them on the mount, that you resist not evil, it's coming, but whosoever shall slap thee, smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, you know, Without Christ in your life, that's a hard concept to grasp. To allow somebody to slap you the second time after they slap you the first time. Well, this is what the Bible says. It says, if they smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, let us get this really clear in our minds, because folks who are not saved, they don't know the word of God, they say, I'm not going to do that. So I don't care who said that, I'm not going to. They slap me one time, they won't have a chance to slap me the next time. So that's what goes on, because to look at that the way it's here, you already say, I can't do that. And they go so far and say, that's not even common sense. Well, it's not about common sense, it's about the commandment of the Lord. God is right. All right, let's see. So being slapped that first time, you're not going to turn. It doesn't mean that you are raring to do that. But Jesus commanded it. Are you looking at the 39th verse? Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. This verse started out, Jesus said, but I say unto you. All right, so Jesus commanded it. And not only that, let's go down. We're going to come back to this, but I want us to read verse 40 and see what else Jesus commanded us to do. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. He's suing you for your coat, and the word of God says, let him have your cloak. That's the cloak is the inner garment, and the outer garment is the other, the coat. So give him the coat and the cloak. That's what Jesus said. Now let's look what else Jesus said. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain too. Well, he prefaces by saying, but I say unto you. All right, let's take a closer look here. When Jesus talked about a slap, a smite, he's talking about a personal slight of any kind. A personal slight of any kind. When somebody attack you, they insult you, they disrespect you. And some folks don't take that. Folks who are not saved, they'll tell you, you don't disrespect me. They'll tell you, right? No. You crossed the line now. You don't talk to me like that. You don't do that to me. That's the world's way. That's the way of the people who don't know Jesus. People who are not under the commandment where it says to turn the other cheek. Now remember, Jesus told us over in Romans that the worldly people is enmity against God. And they are not subject to the law of God. Amen. They don't obey God's word. Sinner man does not obey God's word. You can tell him what the word of God says he wants, but he doesn't obey it. So the slap to Jesus is trying to get us to understand it's that personal where people attack you, and that is a part that people don't like to be attacked. They don't want to be insulted. So it's a personal slight. It does not have to actually be a slap on the face. And that's where people stumble. people don't have to hit you to attack you. Y'all ever heard of verbal abuse? Some people live in the world on the extreme verbal abuse. The abuser will not hit them, because if they hit them, there's going to leave marks. And if you hit a lady and she got come call a policeman on you, and she come and your handprint on the side of her face, and you can deny it all you want to. So the devil's children, they try to get smart. Not all of them, because some people will hit you too, because they don't care. But a lot of folks live under conditions where people tell them, you ain't nothing. Nobody wants you but me. And I don't know why I want you with your ugly self. That's verbal abuse. A person being talked to that way day after day and week after week. And another thing they like to do is isolate you from your family. They don't want your mama to talk to your mama or your relatives. They don't want your relatives to visit you, because they want to tell that lie that nobody loves you but me. I guess not, because they painted a picture to keep them away, and then they bombard you. So there is verbal abuse. It's a personal attack on a person. So it doesn't have to be a physical slap. Doesn't have to be violence that way. You ever heard the expression, a slap in the face? It's an unexpected insult or offense. Unexpected. A slap. Somebody said, oh, that was a slap in the face, what they said to you, what they did to you. It's unexpected. There are a lot of unexpected slaps in the face that's given out daily. Sometimes it's from your supervisor on your job. And it's interesting how the devil likes to work on the job. He'll pick on the one who's doing right. And the ones who are not doing right, they seem to get by and get the favors or whatever. But let me tell you this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. You can't make them do right, but if you're a child of God, your Father can. Amen. All right, so let's go with that. A slap in the face, and that happens. It's unexpected. Someone insults you. Well, Jesus said that we have to turn the other cheek. So if someone insults you, let him. Turn the other cheek. If someone has offended you and you're shocked by it, don't be. You don't have to be shocked by what the devil's children will do. Because if they were a child of God, they wouldn't do that to you, because a child of God will have the Spirit of God in him, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God tells us that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. In other words, a child of God, a person who's a Christian, they're going to be concerned about how they talk to you. They're not going to talk down at you. They're not going to make you feel like you're nothing or no one. They're going to use words not to tear you down, but to build you up. Amen. They're going to encourage you. They're going to let you know, yes, you're going through trouble, but I want you to know trouble doesn't last always. And I want you to know that there's one that can help. And you know, you're not the only one, because see, the devil, what he does, he likes to tear you down too. He likes to put in your mind. And I tell you what, what gets in your mind is hard to get out unless you got God's Spirit. And even with the Spirit of God in you, the devil still bring these things to you, and you got to learn how to resist the devil by doing what God says. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's no person in here who's a child of God who is not being tested and tried by the devil. If you are a child of God, if you're professing to be a Christian, you're going to be tried by the devil. The devil tried Jesus. And if you try Jesus, he's going to try us. But I thank God for his word. And that's why I tell you it's so important for us who are children of God to know what God says. The Bible teaches you and the Bible teaches me that the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater. Who's in us? Children of God. The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God. So God is in us. So it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil has some power, but his power is limited. The devil can't do no more than God allows him to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. And God will bring us out of these difficult situations because he's promised us in his word that he would provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. So in other words, Jesus says, if they insult you, let them. If they offend you and shock you, don't be surprised. But this is one thing he says, don't return insult for insult. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Take it. Knowing that God will bless you for obeying his word. It's always a blessing when you do what God says. So take it. Do not retaliate for personal offenses. Don't retaliate. Don't try to talk to the devil's children in retaliation because they can do worse things than you will ever do. They can say some things that you wouldn't dare say. Amen. So you need to let God take care of it. Christians, we don't need to defend our personal rights or avenge our honor. And avenge means when you talk about avenge or revenge, you know what's attached to that? Punishment. In other words, what you did to me was bad, but you wait till it comes back. It's going to be worse. We don't own anybody. We don't have a right to punish anybody. The Bible says all souls are mine. Every human being in this world belong to God by the mere fact that he's the one that planted them in the womb. So he says, all souls are mine. But this is what God says. The soul of the Father, that's mine. The soul of the Son, that's his. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. That's what God says. We cannot punish God's children. Punishment belongs to him. That is God's right. He did not give us permission, the authority to punish folks when they insult us, come against us, lie on us. God didn't give us the right to punish them. Let's look what the scripture says, Romans chapter 12. Keep a mark on Matthew 5th chapter. We're coming back. Romans chapter 12. Romans the 12th chapter. The 19th verse. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. So in other words, you don't have to settle the score. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to put them in their place. You don't have a place to put them. Amen. So it says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Resist not evil. In other words, that's what God is saying. They've done evil. Don't do evil also. If they've done evil, Galatians 6:7 applies to their lives. And it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If they've done evil to you, evil is coming back to them. And it's something you can't stop because that's a law of God. So it says, give place unto wrath. You know, if somebody physically slapped you and you slapped them back, and you professing to be a child of God and you slapped them back and they're a devil because the child, because they slapped you, you know, you might get in the fight. And I sure wouldn't want to pick up the Florida Star. They got your pictures in there talking about you all for fighting. You know, I think about sometimes that you hear fights in churches. How is that going to help a person who's not a Christian? They can stay out in the world and fight. Sinners don't come to church to expect to see the actions of the world. They come here and they expect it to be different. They expect the music to be different. Amen. They expect the preacher to preach the word of God. Amen. That's what they come in for. They come in because they need help. So God says, give place unto wrath. For it is written, look what it says, vengeance is mine. Punishment is God's. Folks seemingly get away with doing wrong here in this world. But no one gets away from doing wrong, because Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming back. Whether somebody says, oh, that's just something I've been hearing that ever since I'm a child. Jesus is coming back. For those who are dead, he's already come back. But those of us who are yet alive, he's coming back. And the Bible teaches us how he's going to come back. He's going to come back on the clouds. He left on the clouds, he's going to come back on the clouds. When Jesus comes back, Jesus is coming to separate. So you got folks who come to church and they say they're saved and they do this and they do that, but they live a secret life. Amen. They live a different life than they come to church and smile and say, I love the Lord and I'm a Christian. And they're out there drinking their liquor and cussing and playing the lottery and doing all these evil things and fornicating and being adulterers and yet talking about I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know where you got that from. If that's the kind of life you live in, you're not going to God's heaven. There's that other place that God has prepared for folks. I must live right. I must live the way God wants me to live. I don't write the rules. I obey the rules. God gives a commandment, and I say, yes, Lord. Each one of us in here will have to say, yes, Lord. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Now, that's a great illustration. If you went out in your yard and there's some old filthy looking rag flies around it and you didn't put it there, you sure wouldn't go out there picking it up with your hands. If you got rid of it, you'd have a stick. Keep it at distance, probably have a mask on your face. Amen. Because you don't want to be associated with it. You don't want to be around that. It's filthy. God says our righteousness is as filthy rag. We don't write the rules of righteousness. God does. God is a righteous God. He's left his instructions in the word of God. And God, when God saves us, he empowers us to do what he says. We have power to obey God's word. The Holy Ghost gives us power. And folks get that confused. They think they're going to be a miracle worker like Jesus. Or no, Jesus gave us power to live right. The Holy Ghost in us. The Bible lets us know that the steps of a good man represent a Christian, a good man represent a person who knows Jesus and the pardoning of our sin. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, he leads you, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Not only does he order our steps, he words our mouth. He gives us what to say, and he gives us times to hold our peace. Amen. But God says here in this passage that vengeance is mine. And then look what else he says. I will repay, saith the Lord. If God said it, he's going to do it. Because God can only speak truth. God doesn't tell you he's going to do something and say, I changed my mind. You know, you lived all kind of lie, all kind of life when you were in the world, and but you did go to church and you did give your dues. Come on in. Nope. He's not going to do that. You got to be cleansed from sin, and you must be sealed with his Holy Ghost. He must be on the inside of you. So in other words, our salvation is just not talk. It's living. You got to pack back your talk up with a life. It's easy to say you love God. There are a lot of folks, you meet people in the world, say, oh, I love the Lord, I love God, but they are not doing what God says. The Bible says, if you love me, obey me, keep my commandments. And if you're not keeping God's commandments, you don't love him. And people who are living a lifestyle after the devil, you're the devil's child. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God says, vengeance belongs to him, and I will repay. The Bible teaches us that it is better for a person to be in the depths of the sea with a millstone around his neck than to offend one of God's children. Put a millstone around your neck, they don't intend for that body to come up. God fights for his children. God is our heavenly Father, and the Lord loves us. So in other words, retaliation is what the worldly people expect. Y'all know that? Because that's the way they live. They bother their so-called associates and whatever, then they watching their back. Sometimes the word's out, you better watch your back, man. Because somebody's looking for you. So the world expects retaliation, but we're no longer part of the world. When God saved us, he took us out of the world. God changed us. God took an evil spirit out of us, and he's placed his spirit in us. And with the spirit of God in us, we can do what God says. So we don't retaliate. Because that's how the sinners, that's how the devil's children act. God says, turn the other cheek. And when we turn the other cheek, it requires help from God. Oh, it means I got to have help from God? Yes. You must have the Holy Ghost in you. You must have God in you. And God fights your battles when he's in you. Didn't he say, vengeance is mine and I will repay? Amen. He fights our battles. But if you don't have God in you, you're trying to fight it for yourself. And I want you to know, you're no match for the devil. But thank God, God is. The devil has to do what God commands. So, turn the other cheek. And you can do it because you have the help you need. If you're a child of God, everybody who's a child of God, who's a true-born child of God, you have the Spirit of God in you. And not only do you have the Spirit of God in you, you have everlasting life. When do you have everlasting life? Right now in this present time. Because when God saves us, he resurrects us from the dead, from being dead in sin, and he raises us to the newness of life, and his spirit is placed in us, and he gives us eternal life, and he said we will never perish, and no one can pluck us out of his hands. Once God saves you, the devil can't have you back. The devil doesn't have power enough to take us from God. We are secure in our salvation. But the thing is, you need to make sure you're sure that you're saved. And how do you know? How can you know whether you're saved? Whether or not you can obey God's word. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, you will. The Holy Ghost is our helper. He will help us do what God says. So when you turn the other cheek. As children of God, you know God is there helping you. So when you turn the other cheek, this is what God wants us to do. To respond to hatred with love. Amen. Amen. Love your enemies. Yeah. That's what the Word of God says. Love your enemies. Look at verse 44, right there in the same chapter. It says, love your enemies. But I say unto you, Jesus is saying it again, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So the scripture is telling us here that we got to love our enemies. So you respond to hatred with love. And when you do that, that can show you that the power of the Holy Ghost is indwelling you. And you know what? It might open a door for you to be a witness, to give a testimony, because that person was expecting you to come back with an evil because they had done evil, but you're coming back with good. And God says that when you do that, it's like heaping coals of fire on their heads. Not literal fire, but your goodness. God can take that goodness and he can wake them up in the middle of the night and not allow them to go back to sleep and cause them to go over what they did to you, and you had done no wrong to them. God fights our battles. God does more than we ever be able to do or what we ever think to do. But we got to obey God for God to fight for us. So remember now, he wants us to be a witness. Not only with mouth. There's an expression that says talk is cheap. But you got to live it. You got to live this life. Man. You got to turn the other cheek. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that some of the things people say hurts. It hurts. You see, that's one thing about it. We are saved and we have the Holy Ghost, but we have feelings. The Bible says Jesus wept. The Bible says there was a mother with her only son, and the funeral procession was going through, and Jesus had compassion, and he restored that child to the mother. So we have the Holy Ghost, but we have feelings. That's the way God made us. And some things people say to us, it hurts. It hurts. And then when it hurt us, then we ought to remember what the Bible says. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So if it hurts you, you don't want to hurt anybody that way. We're going to say, God, strengthen me. God, help me. And if you sincerely do that, you know what he'll do? God will help you. God will help you. As I close, I want us to remember Jesus, who's our perfect example of turning the other cheek. Jesus was silent before his accusers when they had him going from judgment hall to judgment hall and all the terrible things they did to Jesus. That was insulting. That would have been embarrassing. When somebody would spit on you, that's embarrassing. That's a tremendous insult. When I was in school, you spat on somebody, you had a fight. You better run. And you better be faster than the one that you're running from, because when they catch you, they're gonna teach you something. And so, but Jesus endured that. They slapped him aside the head and say, prophesy, tell us who hit you. That's embarrassing. But Jesus turned the other cheek. He did not call revenge from heaven to destroy them. He didn't call the fire down from heaven. He took it. Even on the cross, he was insulted. One of the thieves talking about, after you Christ, save us and save yourself. Save yourself and save us. But thank God there was one who said, Lord. No, first he reprimanded the other and said, we're guilty. We're here because of what we have done. This man has done nothing. He said, Lord, when I come into thy kingdom, remember me. He expressed faith for Jesus on the cross, on his last hours in this world. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So Jesus is telling us to turn the other cheek. On the cross, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And do you know that we can pray that when people attack us? We can say, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Now, why I'm saying that, because I just told you a few minutes ago that vengeance belongs to God. Amen. And God said he would repay. I just told you that it would be better to be in the depths of the sea with a millstone around your neck than to offend one of God's children. So in other words, they're looking for us to retaliate, but the retaliation is going to come from God. Amen. So let's remember Jesus. He turned the other cheek. Do you? Will everyone stand?